You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It is a gym class on this Thursday, the 12th of November. Thank you for joining us all across Eastern Iowa, as well as all across the region and country, what have you, the world. Heck, why not? 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, or your smart speaker as well. Good show coming up for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us as Iowa and Iowa State with signing days yesterday, also with media days virtually this past week. We'll talk college hoops, which is, as of right now anyway, a couple of weeks away from getting started. And who knows how it's going to play out with everything going on over the next couple of weeks. But at least it is there for us to take a look at it. So we'll do that and talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up in just a little bit. We'll get you updated on the Masters, which is underway after a rain delay earlier on today. They are out on the course in force and many storylines, and we will talk about that coming up in just a little bit. We had an epic high school football game earlier on today. Epic, 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 unless you're a fan of starting games on time. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. Great game last night in Maction as well. Lot to get to. Scott Unash with you, and Buttons on the other side of the glass, and Mark Dukes from his home in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids joining us via the Skype here today once again. How you doing?
Doing well. Good afternoon, everyone. Pleased to be with you again for this hour, and we'll have a Bowling Night in America recap as well,
Scott. Oh, I forgot about that. Well, when your average has dropped 8, 9, 10 pins over the last 3 weeks. You tend to forget about that, but hey, It's a team game, right?
It is indeed, and a lot to get to, and anxious to sink our teeth into it.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll talk some basketball coming up in just a little bit. We've got the Masters underway from Augusta National, and this is been watching the Masters for many, many years. And this is about the most benign I have ever seen Augusta National play. They started off this morning, got about 20 minutes into it, and immediately had a weather delay. Rain event went through Augusta National. Not a deluge, but a little bit of lightning in there. Had to get them off the course. And the course then became even wetter than it has been. Not only that, but when the front went through, the wind went with it, and there is basically not a breath of wind out there today. Guys are taking full aim at all the flagsticks at Augusta National. Not only that, but the first round pins are in a lot of very, very accessible places. They've also moved the tees up with anticipation that they were going to get some weather today, and that all adds up, Mark, to very, very low scores and a lot of red on the scoreboard earlier on.
Yeah, close to 50 players under par right now, and some are just getting underway in the first round. This first round will not be completed today. In fact, Zach Johnson, one of the later tee times, he just threw three holes, and sunset is at around 5:30 in Augusta, Georgia, local time. So Zach probably will only get in about 9 holes, but his first 3 are pretty good. He's 2 under through 3 holes and off to a very, very good start. And that's what you really need, because these scores are low. Paul Casey with an early 7 under par 65 in the lead. He has a 2-shot edge over Webb Simpson and Xander Schauffele, and then a sizable group at -4 that includes Hideki Matsuyama, Lee Westwood. I love Lee Westwood.
Maybe the best player to never win a major in golf history. A lot of people have said that this week.
Yeah. Also at -4, Louis Oosthuizen, Patrick Reed, Justin Thomas, who was only through five holes. He is at four under. And a guy named Tiger Woods. His best first round ever in the Masters at minus 468.
Yeah. Of course, that came a day after we said that he's probably needs to have everything go right to contend. And, hey, so far it has gone right. Tiger is doing what Tiger does in 2020, and that is a lot of three woods, not a whole lot of drivers, although he hit a few more than I thought he would today. Got off to a little bit of a shaky start, if you will, as far as he got a real big break on 13 because he pushed his approach and just got over the tributary to Ray's Creek, or that could have been a higher score than the birdie, obviously. But he hit fairways. He hit greens. He birdied, I think, two of the par fives. He made a couple of bombs and adds up to a 4-under par 68.
A lot of focus on Bryson DeChambeau, one of the co-betting favorites with Dustin Johnson coming into this tournament. He overcame a double bogey on the 13th hole, a hole in which he would easily birdie or eagle, and he probably will in the last three rounds, but he survived 2-under par 70. We've got a poll question at kgymradio.com related to the Masters. Thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City and Steve Anderson and his team there. The question is, will Paul Casey's 7-under par hold as the round one lead in Augusta? Yes or no? And again, the first round will not be completed until tomorrow, and I mentioned Justin Thomas, minus four through five holes, so keep an eye on him.
Yeah, and he's due to win one of these. He's going to win several Masters. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, boy, you mentioned DeChambeau, and if you were watching earlier on today on various platforms, ESPN Plus, I know, had it, obviously Masters.com, I had it as well, but he had a double bogey on 13. He could have had something ugly on 13. Drove it into the pine straw on the right, inexplicably tried to kind of make a hero Phil Mickelson shot out of the pine straw and blew it over the green into bushes, dropped one as a provisional, and proceeded to hit that one into the tributary of Ray's Creek. So if they did not, they went into the bushes and they found the ball. So he had to take a penalty shot there and a drop and still ended up making a seven. But if they did not find that ball, he would have been dropping and hitting six from not even on the green yet. So you look at a seven and you're thinking to yourself, that's a pretty bad score. It could have been worse on 13 for DeChambeau.
Very much so, but to his credit, he came back and again finished 2-under par on the day. And if that's the worst that's going to happen to him all week, he'll be in pretty good shape, I think. My pick, Rory McIlroy, of course, not off to the best of starts. He's plus one through five and then just hit one wayward for into the sixth green. So
that happens. John Rahm off to a good start at minus three. He got off to a in his round, anyway, a very poor start. Was, I think, two over after the first three holes or something like that, and ended up at 3-under par with a 69 today. So he took it from the clutches of losing it, perhaps, and brought it back. So he's in there. But Thomas is the hot guy right now, 4-under par through five holes as he plays his sixth right now. And you can tell these guys want to keep playing today because they are not taking the usual time. They know that Augusta is there for the taking today, and they want to get as many holes in as they possibly can.
No question about it. And only about, just shy of an hour and a half, perhaps, left of daylight at Augusta National.
Yeah, probably not even that much.
Yeah, probably not even that much, but the co-betting favorite, Dustin Johnson, 2-under through four. So Dustin off to a good start as well.
Yeah. And like you said, a lot of red figures right now. 46 of the 92 are under par at this present time. And that's this year the cut has been changed. There is no 10-shot rule anymore. It is the low 50 in ties for this year. So keep that in mind as you get ready for the weekend. So even would be even right now would be the cut line, but there's a lot of golf yet to be played out there. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the Masters. Again, that's 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. That is our phone line. That is available to you as well. We'll get, Joel, we'll get to the football game. We will get to a couple of football games. We have football coming up tonight for you on two different fronts right here on KGYM. 7 o'clock, we know that pregame time is going to be correct, as on 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, and starting off on 107.5 FM, it will be coverage of Thursday night football, and that is a good one tonight from Tennessee Colts and the Titans, I believe. Correct, Mark?
Yeah, it's correct.
Yes, very much so. And then, well, it was going to be a 7:15 start, but I have no idea now when it's going to start. 107.5 FM, we will have a Class 3A state semifinal from the Dome tonight as the Xavier Saints will take on North Scott this evening. And the winner will move on to the championship game in 3A coming up, and that will be next Thursday night. We'll have that for you again. It was scheduled for a 7:15 pregame. Not exactly sure that's going to happen. We'll see how the rest of this second eight-player game goes, as well as the Harlan game coming up against Boyden Hall Rock Valley. But I would not bet the company car or house on the fact we're going to start at 7:15 coming up this evening because, Mark, of what happened earlier on today. When ESPN is tweeting about this particular ball game, you know that it caught the fancy of the country.
No question about it. A state record in the first game of the day, which lasted, what, about 4 hours, right?
Just
Scott,
shy
that's
of...
why everything's,
yep.
That's why everything's going to be behind. So it was a record-setting day. How about this for a football score? 108-96.
94, Mark.
194, I'm sorry.
Don't give too many points away on this one. Remsen St. Mary's 108, Montezuma 94 today. That is not a misprint. They did not play best 2 out of 3. As Joel in Muscatine says, great to see my mother-in-law's alma mater, Remsen St. Mary's, hang a Wilt Chamberlain 100-plus on the board today. Oh, 108 points.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And the legend of Eddie Burgess grew today. This guy scored 78 touchdowns in the regular season. He, for the Montezuma star. Today, Scott, as you know, passed for 689 yards and 9 touchdowns, and he also threw in 4 rushing touchdowns. This guy accounted for 13 touchdowns. And I know one of the receivers from Montezuma had 7 touchdown catches, but, I mean, Montezuma put up big numbers all season long. The lowest of the season was 39 points in the season opener, but twice scored over 70, scored 94 this time, and lost.
Lost. They lost, putting up 94.
Do we like this out there? 366-1600. Do we like this? 108-94 in an 8-man football game? Is that what we want?
Not according to 98-43. He took Montezuma in the under. Oh man. Yeah, and this is what happens when you get two really star-studded teams in 8-man football. Montezuma, I think this is their third year of 8-man football, but both of these teams are loaded with athletes. Both have been to the last two state basketball tournaments, Have been to the semifinals. Both got to the semifinals, I believe, last year. And, you know, Montezuma doesn't run the football very much at all. Only like 4 or 5 times a game that I read and looked at the stats about. They line up all their basketball guys. They put their top basketball guy as the quarterback. They put the other basketball guys at wide receiver and try to stop them. And really, Montezuma had an 18-point lead, like early in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter, something like that. And Remsen St. Mary's scored, got an onside kick, and were never headed after that. But they can write a new record book with what they did today. And these records, Mark, are never going to be shattered. Never.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Never.
This game must have left your broadcast partner, John Haggerty, a defensive, I think he's a guru. He's really good on defense. He must have been really scratching his head watching this one, if he did.
Yeah. He said he saw a little bit of it and really couldn't stomach it anymore. because there wasn't a whole lot of defense being played in this particular ballgame, but there were so many good athletes out there. That's what made it kind of fun. Net yards passing, Montezuma, 744 yards passing. 35 of 62 was Burgess in the ballgame. 34 of 60 for 689 yards. Then they brought in Owen Cook, 1 out of 2. He had 55 yards. He had 1 touchdown. Trey Shearer had 20 catches for 389 yards and 7 touchdowns today. 7.
If there's so many good athletes out there, Scott, why can't they play defense?
I'm going to say because the offense, the plays were so good. How's that?
Again, 8 player is a shorter field. Some are advocating cut the quarters down to 10-minute quarters. I don't know about that. You're not going to see this all too often.
No, let them play.
Yeah. Joe and Muscatine, I love it. It's like Grinnell College basketball.
There you go. You're not going to change the rules just because Grinnell is playing. And I did take in a couple of Grinnell games over the years when they were at their heyday as far as that basketball is concerned. It's not my cup of tea, but, again, you can't change the rules just for one team out there. So, yeah, some crazy stuff. Oh, Cyclone Tim. Now, he can get away with this because he is a Big 12 fan and an Iowa State fan. He weighs in on the text line. I thought the Big 12 didn't play defense. Ha, ha, ha. Now, see, you're going to get people angry, Cyclone Tim, because the Big 12 is starting to play defense. So you can't do that. Don't do that, man. Don't bring the Big 12's defensive prowess into the conversation here.
I took in a couple Grinnell College basketball games too. Both of them were at Coe several years ago. Dave Arsenault, the head coach there, instituted this system. And it just, if you're not familiar with it, it's predicated on get the ball as soon as you possibly can. You cross half court and put up a shot. And they're going to take more 3-point shots than 2-point shots during the course of a game. And it really forces the other team to kind of play into Grinnell's hands because Grinnell isn't changing.
No.
And, this game very much resembled a Grinnell College basketball game.
And they will give you 2 to their 3. They have 2 or 3 guys each possession that take the defensive possession off. It is the strangest, wackiest thing you've ever seen if you are a fan of basketball. But we digress. How did we get to Grinnell College out of this?
It was Joel's fault.
Okay. We aren't going to blame Joel. Cyclone Tim apologizing for if he did offend anyone today by the Big 12 defense and that particular text. So he does apologize. Did anyone punt today? Yes, there were 3 punts in the game.
What?
Yes. What? I just had the stats up. 3 punts in the ball game. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 323. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Talked about the Masters a little bit. Some people weighing in. 2030, golf needs Tiger. I agree wholeheartedly, or at least until the next guy comes along. But the next guy or guys, they're here, and you still are hearing if Tiger's in contention. And I agree. Golf is better for having Tiger in contention. No doubt about that.
Well, it's certainly good for radios and televisions. By the way, we'll have Masters coverage this weekend on KGYM radio. And, you know, back to the high school for a minute. By contrast, at halftime of the other eight-player game, number one, Don Bosco, 14-12.
That's
over
it.
Fremont Mills.
There were three touchdowns in the first 90 seconds, I want to say, of the game today. There was a touchdown on the first play because Montezuma fumbled the first play of the game, and Remsen St. Mary's scooped it up and ran for a touchdown, a defensive touchdown. So six seconds
in. Remsen St. Mary's got back in the game during a stretch of about 20 seconds in which it scored three touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff.
It was amazing. It was amazing out there. 319-366-1600. Of course, last night you had Western Michigan and Toledo going at it. Even our friend, our good friend Dave Koken, gave up on the Western Michigan Broncos last night with a couple minutes remaining in the game. Down by 10, I believe it was. But then the Bronx scored a touchdown, got an onside kick, went down, last play-ish of the game. They pulled a Dan Marino and the Dolphins against the Jets from a few years back, many years back. They faked the spike and threw the ball to a wide-open receiver who was in the end zone to break the hearts of the Toledo Rockets and win the ball game, coming from 10 points behind in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, Toledo totally surprised on that winning touchdown pass, and just a crazy ending. A great call, as it turned out, by Western Michigan. That was a very, very entertaining game.
Yeah. Were there more touchdowns than first downs? No, because there were 71 first downs in that game. 36 for one team, 35 for the other team. 71-48. Worried about the officials. Did anyone check on the officials? No, but they got through it just fine. Hey, we did that high-scoring championship game between Harlan and Mount Vernon a few years ago, and that thing wasn't anywhere near 104 to 96 or whatever the heck it was today. And I think it was midway through the fourth quarter, as the scores kept going on and on and on and trying to do the game and doing stats, we just gave up. And that wasn't anywhere near triple digits as far as that is concerned. All right. There you go. That was fun, though.
It was indeed. And at some point, I want to get your impressions on the game you're going to call tonight, Xavier, in a rematch. And as you know, some of those rematches don't go according to Hoyle, at least according to the first game. So, but Xavier playing at a really high level right now.
Yeah, they are. And we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit here, as we'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up as well for you. But it is 3:28, so we're going to take a break, come back, and we are going to talk to our friend Kevin Lehman. Plenty to talk about in the world of college basketball, and we'll do it when we return after this here on KGYM.
Keeping cozy inside with a beautiful view of the outside is exactly what you need this winter. And Alexander Lumber has just the right windows from WeatherShield. With a unique ability to combine stunning style with energy efficiency, WeatherShield is creativity expressed in smart design. Alexander Lumber is excited to welcome the full line of WeatherShield windows to the family. See them today at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
Xavier Sports is on fire. The Xavier football team is heading back to the Unidome. The Saints knocked off Grinnell 21-7 in the Class 3A quarterfinals last Friday night to advance to the semifinals. The Saints will face North Scott tonight at 7:30 in a rematch of last year's game. Catch all the action right here on the Gym 107.5 FM. The Xavier volleyball team is celebrating their first state title in school history. The number one ranked Saints swept Western Delaware for the Class 4A state championship last Thursday at Alliant Energy Powerhouse in Cedar Rapids. Congratulations to Coach Filer and the entire team on this exciting and memorable victory.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company, family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics, add getting your Iowa coaching authorization from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood state-approved, fully online classes are happening right now. Sign up and begin your online course anytime, anywhere, and get on track to reach your goals. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you at 3:30 here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott Unash along with Mark Dukes. Buttons on the other side of the glass here today. We want to remind you as well, each Friday at 5 o'clock, we invite you to tune in to KGYM's Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will take the hour to talk about the weekend's upcoming big and local regional events. It's brought to you by Lender Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And find out more at KGYMradio.com. Of course, tomorrow it's going to be very Hawkeye-centric, getting ready for Iowa and Minnesota. A rare Friday nighter. And that will kick off just past 6 o'clock. And that will be tomorrow night at TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So, we'll get you all ready to go as far as that game is concerned, both on the Gym Class as well as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That will come up tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. We've got Regina football on 106.3 FM, the Class A state semifinal as Regina will take on St. Ansgar. And 8:45 is our broadcast time. We know that's going to start on time, being the first game of the day. 9 o'clock with the kickoff, or just past 9 o'clock. We'll have it for you beginning at 8:45 and 106.3 FM. Tonight, we're hoping for 7:15. Don't hold your breath on 107.5 FM, as it'll be a 3A state semifinal. Xavier taking on North Scott. That's football. Let's talk some basketball and some hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is set to join us right now and joins us weekly throughout the basketball season. But it was media day, virtual media days this week for Iowa and Iowa State. So apropos to bring him on right now. But first of all, I know you are being a proud alum of Iowa City Regina. You will be pulling for the Regals tomorrow morning.
I will, and I just listened to that last score you gave, Rensselaer-St. Mary's 108, Montezuma 94. That sounds like an Iowa men's basketball score.
Well, especially from, the six-pack days.
Yeah, no question. I think we're going to see it again this year with the Iowa Hawkeyes. But, yeah, I'll be tuning in for this Regina game tomorrow, see if they can work their way into another championship game.
As you took part in Iowa's media day, Kevin, I wondered what your takeaways were on the prospects for this team that is already in a couple polls ranked in the top five or six in the country.
I'll tell you what was nice, Mark. I've done a lot of these media days virtually. We actually were able to go to Carver Hawkeye and sit masked up, socially distanced, but to listen to Fran McCaffrey, it kind of got the blood going again. Had a nice visit with Mike Halas about this team, and it was just nice to get out there and listen to Coach. And here's what I came away with, Mark. Fran McCaffrey really likes this team. You could just tell. And they've embraced this top five ranking. They're going to take on Gonzaga, ranked number one the preseason. They got that date with North Carolina. And Mike Halas made a great point. I think he came up with the numbers over 300-plus starts with this Iowa team, and their average age is just under 22 years old. Of course, Bohannon raises that average because that kid's 23 and a half now, and he could come back again next year because everyone gets a free year this year because they're redshirt. But they have that going for them. This team is experienced, and they've got quality depth.
They do. Well, and Jack Nungy is what, a fourth or fifth-year sophomore right now?
Yeah, he's listed as a sophomore. And that's another thing, back to Mark's question, I'm really interested to see what Jack Nungy does this year because I think they're going to have to play in some of that five spot to back up Luca Garza because otherwise they're going to go with the freshman Ungandelli. But I look for Nungy to play a lot of four and some five for this team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Kevin, I think starting lineups are very overrated, especially for an Iowa team that has those seven guys with all that experience. But for entertainment's sake, what do you see a starting lineup for Iowa look like? There's so many ways for Fran McCaffrey to go.
Well, I think that's another takeaway from Media Day is a lot of flexibility with the lineups that Fran McCaffrey has with his team. And he talked a lot about Patrick McCaffrey gaining some weight. And I've always said Patrick's a kind of a reminds me of Aaron White, the ability to get out and run on the wing and to finish around the rim. But you've got a lot of pieces here. Frederick can really shoot the ball. Bohannon can shoot it. Wieskamp can spread you out a lot of ways. This team has so many weapons, but I can see Bohannon back at that point guard spot with Frederick, McCaffrey at the wing along with Wieskamp and Garza, and you bring Nungy off the bench, that four and five spot. Toussaint can move Bohannon to the two. And we're going to see what we get out of some of these freshmen. Aaron Ulis, he talked about. Tony Perkins, very athletic. And I think a lot of us here in Eastern Iowa want to see how much these Murray twins, Keegan and Chris, have grown and matured since their year at Prairie High School.
Yeah, I think that's the big X factor. One of them anyway, as far as this team is concerned. They're going to have depth all over the place, which brings up the inevitable question, are there enough minutes to keep everybody happy as far as this team is concerned? But you talked about Chris and Keegan, and just watching those guys for 4 years just get better and better each year. Had a great year at prep school down in Florida last year. The big thing is got stronger, put on weight, got stronger. They've always been athletes, no doubt about that. And I know they're going to help this basketball team.
Well, Fran and staff have done a great job of targeting players that are still maturing and becoming better basketball players. And a lot of people question when Jordan Bohannon was signed that, you know, this kid may be a mid-major player. He's proved all those people wrong. You know, he's headed for the assist record that Jeff Horner has. And the same thing with Connor McCaffrey. Look how he's developed. It's going to be fun to watch Patrick McCaffrey. But Fran has really done a great job of maybe staying away from the four-star and five-stars and really got the three-star guys that are going to develop into four- and five-star players. And the best example, Luca Garza. I mean, he's unanimous first-team AP All-American coming out yesterday. That's an unbelievable story what Luca Garza has done from his high school days where he was somewhat overweight and kind of a plotter to becoming what many are going to say is the best player in college basketball.
Well, one guy that his name has not been brought up is the Englishman, Ogunwale. Is he more of a project or will he fit into the mix?
Well, I asked Fran about that and how those freshmen progressed, and he was the one guy who had a late start because he had trouble getting from England here in the States because of COVID-19. So I kind of took away that he was probably a little bit behind right now, but I think that you're going to need his size up front some point during this season. And who knows how many games we're going to get in here, Mark. I mean, their schedule's filling up. I think they're trying to get to 27, which is the new limit by the NCAA. And, you know, someone's going to get injured, and God forbid we don't have a COVID outbreak. But what you're going to need this year in college basketball is depth, and you're going to need experience because you're going to have bumps in the road. This is not going to be a smooth season. Already this week, Indiana State, Greg Lance's team has had to shut it down because of COVID-19. And today, Southern Illinois had to shut down their basketball program because of COVID-19. So we're going to see those bumps in the road throughout this season.
Yeah, we are. Kevin Lehman joining us here on the Gym Class in this Thursday edition here on KGYM. Luca Garza, obviously, so many accolades, preseason player of the year. I don't know if there is a first-team preseason All-American team or some preseason team out there that doesn't have him on it. I don't know. I have not heard about it anyway. Garza's numbers last year were outstanding, but with the cast that he has around him now, and with a healthy Bohannon coming back and others coming back, Jack Nungi coming back, we can't expect the numbers to be the same as they were last year. If they even come somewhat close to what he did last year, it may even be classified as a better year for Luca Garza, don't you think?
Well, Scott, I think you're making a great point there. His numbers may be down, but his efficiency may go up. The reasons are he's got so many weapons around him. I mean, how are you going to double team off Bohannon and Frederick and Wieskamp this year? You can't send defenders off them to double inside on Garza. So I just see a lot of small ball with some shooters, a lot of Wieskamp at that four spot. That seems to be the new mode of basketball, is positionless basketball. This Iowa team is certainly set to do that, but Luca Garza, he is still going to be the focal point of every opponent's scouting report, because you got to somehow slow the big guy down or make him earn his points. But I'm with you. His numbers could go down, but his efficiency could go up, and this team will be even stronger in the end.
Kevin, you referenced Gazette sports columnist Mike Halas earlier on, and he's our regular Monday guest, and I thought he had a great observation, and I wanted to get your take, and it was that of all years, Iowa has this basketball team that people are gaga over, and few, if any, are going to be able to see them in person.
Mark, we had that discussion as we walked outside to the parking lot, socially distanced, Mike and I, but we talked about that, one of the reasons for preseason polls are to hype your team and sell tickets. Well, there are no tickets being sold this year, unfortunately. And, you've got to go back to 1979, that last Big Ten championship team, which you and I remember well. 1980, last Final Four team. So this is a team, that's the unfortunate part about this season. There's going to be some hiccups, as I mentioned, and also the fact that you can't fill up Carver Hawkeye, because they would have been five deep on that concourse level to watch this team. Especially with the way the Big Ten is loaded. We've got seven teams ranked in the top 25 out of the Big Ten, the preseason poll. This is easiest, the best league in the country, the Big Ten.
Yeah, you talked about that, Kevin, and others have talked about that as well. And it shows, six or seven in the preseason AP top 25. And you've got just littered all over the place. People love Illinois. We know what Wisconsin did a year ago. Michigan. Rutgers in there in the top 25 for the first time in a long, long time. Now, this is preseason, but I know like John Rothstein and others have said, the Big Ten could be as good as the ACC was, about 4 or 5 years ago when they sent, I think, 10 into the NCAA tournament.
Well, if you even look at that, 10 members of the first team preseason Big Ten pick, they're upperclassmen, and that's rare. We got Garza came back, DeSumo came back, Coburn came back for Illinois, Wieskamp's back. There's some older players, and I looked at Wisconsin's roster. They're going to start five seniors. That's a team that's old just like the Iowa Hawkeyes are. Illinois is a little bit younger, but we've talked about this in past seasons. The formula now for success, especially in the NCAA tournament, is you have to grow old, and that's what we're seeing from some of these Big Ten teams. They've got guys that have been through the wars and weathered it. And we're going to find out a lot about this team when they take on Gonzaga at the Pentagon in Sioux Falls. That's going to be a great matchup and a great measuring stick for both squads, both Gonzaga and the Iowa Hawkeyes.
I know Iowa State's very excited about a recruit. The Wisconsin pipeline continued. Tyrese Hunter, a four-star guard out of Racine, has signed with Iowa State. I wonder if you know much about him.
Just what I've read about him, and you know, you said four-star recruit, another guy was highly acclimated, and another Tyrese, to go with Tyrese Halliburton. I recruited players, this was years ago, out of St. Catharines in Racine, and that is a basketball hotbed. Steve Prohm has done a great job in that state of Wisconsin, in a Waukee area, Racine area, getting players out of there. But I'm a little concerned about this Iowa State team, Mark and Scott. You know, you look at that roster, they don't have a lot, they're kind of the opposite of the Hawks. They don't have a lot coming back. Bolton, Solomon Young, Conduit, Trey Jackson. They got a lot of new guys, new faces coming in. And the fact that you couldn't have summer workouts, you're limited in what you did in the fall. This team's going to have some growing pains.
Yeah, and I think that shows as far as the schedule is concerned. I think Iowa State has very thoughtfully put together not the greatest, I guess, array of teams, at least coming into Hilton Coliseum. I think probably South Dakota State's probably the one of the bigger ones anyway. I think they may take on DePaul as well. They will get Iowa, certainly. But I think Steve Prohm wants to get some confidence instilled in these guys. Not that they're going to take the league by storm even in those games. There is talent there. Rasir Bolton, obviously, leading the way in there. You got Trey Jackson coming back. Solomon Young was really good at the end of the campaign a year ago. We'll see. I'm kind of interested in seeing how Xavier Foster is going to play, because are they going to play him on the outside, on the perimeter? Are they going to try to get him inside a little bit more? Is he going to be a tweener? I'm not exactly sure what Steve Prohm has in mind for Xavier Foster, the 7-footer out of Oskaloosa, but I'm interested to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, I listened to that media day virtually, and he talked about Xavier Foster. He'd been banged up, so he hadn't practiced for a couple days. I think he was just getting back into it. But I think this is a guy who can stretch the defense. And listening to Steve Prohm talk about Xavier Foster, and it's typical of most freshmen, Scott, he's got to learn to play hard every possession. That was the one thing I took away from that media day of Steve Prohm and his mission of Xavier Foster. But a guy that they really like, Jaden Walker, the freshman, he's 6'5", 182. He's a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, can play the 1, 2, or 3. I could tell that this is a guy, he was banged up last year in prep school, the bad knee. This guy has a huge upside, and he's kind of the next great point guard that Iowa State's looking to put out there. And they also talk a lot about Javon Johnson, who was on the team last year, the transfer from Troy, but had to sit out. That he has a lot of flexibility. He's kind of that stretch four that they've been looking for. But if you look at this Iowa State team, they shot it so bad last year, 32% from three. They're really looking for three-point shooters. And I think Foster, Johnson, of course, the transfer from DePaul, Jalen Coleman Lands, they really look for him to help them spread the floor with that three-point shooting. And then the guy you mentioned, Young, can do a little more work inside.
Expectations also very high in Cedar Falls for the UNI Panthers. And, hey, they're going to play a Big Ten team, but it's not Iowa. How about that?
Mark, you brought that up again.
Well, and there's no return, Mark. It's a guaranteed game for the Panthers. In fact, if you look at their schedule, they have not announced any home games yet that are non-league. I'm quite certain they're going to go to Lincoln for that pod, and they're going to open up with St. Louis, because I've had a few inquiries from the staff at St. Louis about the Panthers, and I had to play dumb wherever they asked me. And in that also is going to be, of course, Nebraska, and I heard LSU and Kansas State. So they really put together a strong schedule if this stays with the Panthers, because they're supposed to go to Richmond. Richmond's just outside the top 25, another team that returns. All five starters are going to be seniors for this Richmond team out of Atlantic 10. And they got a return trip to Marshall, which they were in here last year. That's a pretty talented squad. So what they do with the home schedule is yet to be seen. I know we're 13 days away from tip-off, guys, and a lot of these teams do not have their schedule complete yet.
Yeah, Iowa State, UNI, chief among them. Panther Pipeline continues with the hometown and with the state of Iowa anyway. Two guys from Cedar Falls, three Mississippi Valley Conference guys coming in. You got Wolf coming in, Corbett coming in, the 6'10 center from Cedar Falls, and then A guy I really like is the Duax kid out of Dubuque Hempstead. You talk about a slasher that can shoot it as well, and it comes from a great basketball family.
Well, they've certainly done well, the Panthers in Eastern Iowa and in that Mississippi Valley League of getting players. And it was nice to see the top two players in Iowa stay home, with Tucker DeVries signing with Drake. And, of course, Iowa getting Peyton Sanford. So we get to watch those high school guys compete in our home state. And you and I have done, you know, if you look at their roster, they're all from Iowa or Minnesota. They don't go very far. They draw that circle, the Panthers, in a recruiting circle, and they stick to it. This is a team, though, much like Iowa, a lot of experience coming back for the Panthers, and A.J. Green, hands down, will be the best player in the Valley.
Rounding out the Big Four with Drake, you mentioned the DeVries kid joining his father in the program. Refresh our memory as to where Drake was expected to finish in the Missouri Valley.
Well, they're a pick seventh, Mark. And, of course, if they would have kept Leon Robbins, who transferred to Minnesota and expected to start for the Gophers, they would have been probably right in that third and fourth spot. But they have a player came in from Wisconsin Green Bay, the Tank Hemphill, Shaquan Tank Hemphill, 6'6". And evidently he's been on ESPN Sports Center three times. So this guy's a high flyer. They probably have a little, don't have the size inside with Robbins leaving for the Gophers, but they got everybody else back. They're all perimeters back. Their point guards are back. I look for them to finish a little higher than where they're picked in this Missouri Valley in the preseason polls.
Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, there is talk that it looks like it is going to happen. There's going to be a bubble out in Connecticut, that there are going to be some big-time, not only men's teams, but women's teams as well. They're going to be playing about a week out there. They're going to call it Bubbleville on the Mohegan Sun reservation out in Connecticut at a casino out there. There's talk, you mentioned the Lincoln Pod there that you and I looks to be a part of anyway. And are we kind of holding off on the schedules maybe to start putting these together a little bit more, especially with all the numbers rising?
I think you're seeing this week and early next week, a lot of these teams are going to start announcing their schedules. And it's interesting that you should mention that Mohegan Sun, because I'm going to be there, but I'm going to be there virtually.
Oh.
So I'm in my office in the basement, and I'm going to broadcast two of those divisions. One has Virginia Tech, Temple, South Florida, and Rhode Island in it from my home.
Nice.
On the on Flow Sports, the streaming that would cover the Virgin Islands when I went there. So instead of going to Virgin Islands, I'm going to be in my basement.
That's a loss, though, Kevin. I'm gonna tell you right now, that's a loss.
Well, when they first told me, Mohegan Sun, I thought, oh, sweet, I can go out to Connecticut. But no, they said, we're going to send the equipment and we're going to set up a studio in your house.
You're saving money, though.
Yeah, well, as Mark knows, I have to bring some Landshark in for this thing.
Indeed.
No Margaritaville in Virgin Islands this year. It will be at the Lehman household in the basement.
Not quite the same, but a fine place nonetheless for everyone to visit.
I think there's going to be, to bring it up, you know, Scott, I think they're expecting 60 teams. They told me be ready to go from November 25th, the opening day, till December 4th.
Wow.
So there's a number of pods coming through this Mohegan Sun, because evidently they can do the testing and keep the thing sanitary. There's what I'm hearing. So we'll see if they pulled off or not. But it's a huge venue.
All right.
I'll keep my eye open for Landshark for you, Kevin. Okay.
All right, buddy. It used to be Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville in St. Thomas, but. Hopefully next year we'll get back to normalcy.
There we go. We hope so, or very much sooner than that. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. We'll start talking in a couple of weeks when we got some basketball.
Well, always a pleasure, guys. Let's hope it goes through, because I heard we've had over 50 football games canceled thus far this season. Let's hope basketball can go off a little bit smoother.
Yeah, hope so. All right, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us, 3:53. We're going to take a break, come back. Bowling Night in America, wrap up from last night, and look ahead to Xavier North Scott when we come back.
Come and get it. Enlist E3 soybeans are hot, and Golden Harvest has yours. Get greater confidence, flexibility, and yield potential in your 2021 weed management system. We're relentless about your results, and that commitment never goes out of stock. Contact your Golden Harvest seed advisor today. Golden Harvest is a trademark of a Syngenta Group company. Enlist E3 soybean technology is jointly developed with Dow AgroSciences LLC and MS Technologies LLC. Enlist E3 is a trademark of Dow AgroSciences LLC.
Hey guys, it's fall spruce up time, and Vernon Village True Value has you covered.
Yeah, Jim, like Rust-Oleum Ultra Cover spray paint for just $2.99 a can. Or a handy wet-dry vac, only $24.99.
You know it, Hal. And a 50-piece cordless drill set is sale-priced at $49.99.
For keeping things looking good at your place, you know where to go. Right, audience?
Yeah!
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
If you missed a turn, there's always another turn. Take it to get back to the turn you missed.
Use your turn signal.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pep Boys.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Experience the most mind-bending thriller of the year. Available at Redbox. From the producers of Get Out and Us, Rent, Antebellum. Starring Janelle Monáe. Successful author Veronica Henley finds herself trapped in a horrifying reality that forces her to confront the past, present, and future before it's too late. Don't miss Antebellum, along with other new movies, and make it a Redbox night. Head to one of the 40,000 Redbox locations, stream on your smart TV, or visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
3:56, we are back with you on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Week number 10 in the books. How quickly it advances.
Very true, and a shorthanded Rusty Nails group got off to a very slow start. Rescued a little bit in the last game, but still lost an 18-12 decision to Grow Works, and another kind of a rough night. I hope the Bruner boys at least got a deer when they shunned the team yesterday.
Oh, I hope so. Have not heard.
But at any rate, it was a good night for Grow Works. Really good team, and we'll try to get back on the winning side of things next week. Joel Donner at it again. This is getting repetitive, but Joel, great left-handed bowler, 289, 749 to sweep the high game and series last night in the Adult Evergreen League. I think there was 400, 500, 700s last night. Chad Durline second with, I think, 733. So pretty good scoring last night, just not for the Rusty Nails.
Needed more of that. Yeah, we'll try her again next week. And stop on by the pro shop as they have everything for your bowler out there. Xavier North Scott coming up tonight. Again, 107.5 FM. We were scheduled at 7:15. We'll see. It's probably going to be pushed back a little bit. Two teams that love to play defense. North Scott has come back in every game in the second half. I should say their last three playoff games. So we'll see how it plays out tonight. But I'm really looking forward to it at the Dome. Going to be a lot of fun, Mark.
Yes, indeed. And a lot of folks around here obviously rooting for Xavier and trying to get that team in the state championship game again. And I'll be listening, whatever time it is.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man in foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.